Today on Real Radio.
Let me put it to you this way. As you come to this church or any church that you attend, does that church need you? Are there others in that church dependent upon you showing up? If you tonight say, I guess not, then you know what? You either need to get involved in the church that you're in or find one and go get involved in it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? Pastor Jack's giving a lesson about how God the Holy Spirit works in the life of the believer. And when you think of His work within us, it's tempting to automatically think of the mystical, the supernatural, you know what I mean? But regarding the Spirit's various works within us, among the greatest of those works is that of wisdom, divine wisdom, that comes only from understanding the mind of God, His Word, and His will for our lives. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his mini-series in a message called The Holy Spirit at Work in You.
That's what you need to be concerned about. You need to become a Christian so you're safe. See, well, I just joined a church. Good luck! Church can't save you. Jesus went to the cross. And then the third and final word is epi, or epi, some say, E-P-I in Greek. The epi of God. This is another function of the Holy Spirit, a trinity of function, the para, the in, and the epi. That is the coming upon work of the Holy Spirit. That is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question. Get your hand ready to go up if you're honest about this. How many of you are Christians? Put your hands up real quick. Okay? Awesome. Guess what? You and I will never, never succeed. It's impossible for us to succeed as a Christian without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Ain't gonna happen. Can't happen. You need the Holy Spirit in life. So many believers today are struggling every day in a very apathetic, very pathetic Christian experience that isn't rocking the world. They're not shaking things up for the kingdom of God. And they're really defeated because they know they should when they read the Bible. They see a disconnect. They see, man, I wish I lived back in Jesus' day. I want to see that kind of stuff. Wait a minute. We live now for a reason. The same Holy Spirit is alive today as He was back then. And the Bible says He's searching the globe, looking to and fro for somebody for Him to go crazy with. I mean, He wants to get us and say, all right, what do you want to do? Hey, church, you know what? Tomorrow morning when you wake up, you got to get up. We'll all do it together. Think about it. We get up in the morning and say, Lord, do something radical with me today in Jesus' name. And let me tell you, heaven's going to listen in. He's going to say, let's go. And what I said earlier, we don't need to get up and tell God what we're going to do. We need to just say, Lord, what do you want to do? And don't be surprised if someday the Lord turns around and says to you, in your heart and mind, I'm not talking about some weird psycho crazy experience. I'm talking about that amazing impulse He puts on your heart. Sounds like this. In your own mind, I've never heard God speak like in a different voice. I have heard Him speak. He uses the thought sound of your head. But it is so powerful and so pronounced in word usage that's not you. Because I can't talk that nice. I can't talk that good. And plus, most often it makes no sense to me. And you'll hear the Lord say, Jack, go ye therefore into all the world and proclaim this gospel. I heard that once. And I said, Lord, what? I know that's in the Bible. But what does it mean in my life? And so I said, Lord, you need to reveal that to me. I don't know what you mean. And that began to eat on me and eat on me. And it just began to possess my thoughts. And years ago, I remember Mike Shepherd and a few of us were in a prayer meeting at this church in the old building, Friday morning. And I felt this deep conviction, this pressure to leave the prayer meeting. And I got up and I left and I went And I laid flat on my face in one of the rooms at the old building. And I said, Lord, what is it? What is it? And he said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach this gospel. Well, you just said that, Lord, a month ago. And in an instant, I heard Russia. And in 3 weeks, we were standing in Russia. We were in Red Square preaching the gospel. And a little babushka, do you know what a babushka is? She was all blackened from the Russian soil of harvesting her mushrooms. We went there in September. I remember she grabbed me. She came up, all hunched over. She came up. She's crying. And she grabbed me by the face, terrified me, honestly. I didn't know what was going to happen. She grabbed me by the face, and she kissed me right on the mouth. And she's crying and crying. And my translator starts crying. I said, what in the world is going on here? And she said, this woman was 10 years old when the Soviets took over her country, grabbed all of their crosses and Bibles out of the house, burned everything, and said to her family, God is dead. And she said, she just said that she has prayed for her nation for all these 70 plus years that the gospel would be proclaimed again. And she's saying that you guys are angels from heaven preaching the word of God. Let me tell you something right now. I may have had doubts about flying 14 hours in a plane and eating bizarre food. But the moment that happened, go ye therefore in all the world made perfect sense to me right then and there. That's why sometimes we need to get in God's boat. We need to get in God's boat and go to the other side before we see what the next thing is to do. We need to trust him. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you with power. Some of you might be saying, I want to see the power of God. You will not see it until you get in God's boat and determine you're going to go to the other side. Then he'll give you power. Do you think he's going to give you a turbocharged lawnmower if you do not intend to mow the lawn? Think about it. A lot of people say, I want to see the power of God. I want to see legs grow, and I want to see eyes open. I want to see something happen. Why? To see something happen? Then nothing's going to happen. I have been to Haiti yet, but I have complete confidence that there's miracles going on in Haiti. Why? Because there's great need and God's people are there. You want to see God do stuff? You want to see the power of God come upon you? Then go to where the need is. But listen, he does not honor spectator Christianity. Won't do it. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Acts 4, 31 says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the word, a P. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Wow. Ephesians 5:18. What a great verse this is. Ephesians 5:18 says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The word filled is again and again and again. Listen, church, the moment you said yes to Jesus, did you hear this a moment ago? The moment you said yes to Jesus Christ and you were converted, you were born again, you were saved, the Spirit of God moved inside you. We'll talk more about that later when we wrap this up. The Spirit of God came inside you. He'll never leave you. If you're a believer tonight, if you raised your hand a moment ago, the Holy Spirit lives in you. But you need him constantly to be upon you. Before you were a Christian, he lived alongside you. The moment you said yes, he came inside you. But the moment you determine that you're going to serve him and get involved, then he comes upon you. And he won't do that until you're willing to be used by him. He won't waste anything. And so in Ephesians 5:18, when it says, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, it's quite a statement. Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus, Turkey, he's saying to them, when you drink wine, you get under its influence. That's a bummer because dissipation is you sweat it out or you eliminate it and you're no longer under its effect. He says, better this, forget the wine, which is worthless. Be filled with the Holy Spirit over and over and over again and be under his continuous influence. And so as believers, that's what needs to happen to us. That's the epi empowerment of the Spirit. Next thing we look at is this. Who is God? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. He is God, the enabling Spirit. The Holy Spirit will enable us. The Holy Spirit enables the believer in the church to possess ministry gifts. The gifts of the Spirit are divided basically church into two groups. And it goes kind of like this. There are the verbal gifts given by the Holy Spirit. Verbal gifts. I'm going to give you some of them right now. There's the word of wisdom recorded in the Bible. That's when the Holy Spirit will speak a word of wisdom through one of his children to someone else. The word of knowledge. God will speak through one of his children to somebody else. Great knowledge. Prophecy. That is not telling the future. The word prophecy is the ability to proclaim God's truth. Tongues. The interpretation of tongues. By the way, tongues never happens without the interpretation of tongues, according to the Bible. Apostleship. The gift of a teacher. The gift of leadership mentioned in the Bible. The gift of an evangelist. And then the gift of pastor-teacher. Here's the difference with pastor-teacher. And I'm telling you from experience, because I'm not a teacher, I'm a pastor-teacher. That is to teach the word of God and to be burdened with the welfare of the flock and to be among them. In other words, if you ever see me come up here and I teach and I run to the back, either A, I got to catch a flight or I don't feel well. Normally, I'll meet you up front or in the foyer. Why? I want to know how you're doing. Both gifts are there at work in the body of Christ. But you can't be a pastor without having the gift of teaching. You can't be a teacher without pastoring. Those are verbal gifts. Then there's the serving gifts. The serving gifts are these: faith, the gift of helps in the Bible, mercy, the gift of healing, the gift of giving, the gift of administration, the gift of miracles, the gift of serving is mentioned in the Bible, the gift of discernment is there in Scripture. And Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13 says, that's the job of the, listen, it's the job of the Holy Spirit to give those within a church the gifts that are necessary for the edification of that church. You guys, can I just plead with you right now? And don't think my motive is goofy. My motive is not goofy. In fact, I'll put it this way. If you don't like this church, that's fine. But get to a church and get involved. Why? Because that's where you will grow the most. And that's where the body will be blessed the most. You guys, to experience true Christianity is to get involved in a local assembly of believers and exercise your gift in that body. Let me put it to you this way. As you come to this church or any church that you attend, does that church need you? Are there others in that church dependent upon you showing up? If you tonight say, I guess not, then you know what? You either need to get involved in the church that you're in or find one and go get involved in it. You say, why are you telling us this? Because you guys, it doesn't matter if you go here or somewhere else. If you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, the entire universal body of Christ will be strengthened on this globe. That is important. Christianity is all about others under the influence of the Holy Spirit you minister to them. That's why we should be the happiest people on the planet. We live for others. It's a glorious thing. Just ask Connie over here. She'll tell you all about that. Okay, also this. I've got a couple of minutes left. He is God, the indwelling Spirit. You heard about that tonight regarding the indwelling of the Spirit of God. But what's that all about? People love the miracle factor about Jesus Christ. But there's a miracle that trumps all miracles, and that is the miracle of conversion. When somebody comes to Christ. You guys, this, I have the opportunity to see this on a weekly basis, and I never get tired of it. It absolutely blows my mind, and that is when somebody makes a decision that they want Jesus Christ. Do you understand what kind of a miracle that is? I truly mean this. It is beyond people receiving their sight or getting healed of a fever. All those things are wonderful, but here's the deal. That God is speaking to an individual, and they decide to change their mind about God and about their lives. And they begin to exercise faith in him. In John chapter 8, verse 7. You guys okay? You're awful quiet tonight. John chapter 8, verse 7 says, so when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, this is the stoning moment of the woman caught in the act of adultery. Remember? All the religious guys are there. They brought this woman caught in the act of adultery. So they kept bugging Jesus, asking Jesus. He raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw the stone first. And again, he stooped down and wrote in the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest unto the youngest. Now, they were convicted, but we have no knowledge of them being converted. Now, listen to this, Acts 3:19. Same conviction, different result. Acts 3:19. Peter speaks, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. He was preaching a message. 3,000 people got saved in that message on the southern steps of the temple. They were convicted, so were the other guys. But these guys came to faith in Christ. They were convicted, and what's the evidence? They repented. The word metanoia is they changed the direction of their boat. That's what the word means. They changed the way or the direction their boat was going. Their mind, their life in a boat going one way, and metanoia, they altered their course by navigation. How far? 180 degrees is what that word means. They came to him. Have you come to Jesus? Have you come to Christ? In Acts 16:30, there the jailer and the earthquake came and God was at work. And so that jailer says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And it goes on to announce that they came to know him. Final verse of the night, but it's a gigantic whopper. Are you ready? The indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life, that is to be saved, that is to become a Christian, that is conviction of sin, leads to conversion of soul. There is no salvation without that. To have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you as a believer, let me give it to you this way. Paul says in Romans chapter 7 that it's all about death. It's all about dying. Not what you might think. Romans 7, beginning at verse 1. Listen carefully. I'll read it slow. Now, dear brothers and sisters, you who are familiar with the law, just think of the Ten Commandments. Don't you know that the law applies only to a person who is still alive? Interesting, huh? That's true. Let me illustrate, he says. When a woman marries, the law binds her to her husband as long as he's alive. But if he dies, the laws of marriage no longer apply to her. So while her husband is alive, she would be committing adultery if she married another man. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law that does not commit adultery when she remarries. So this is the point. The law no longer holds you in its power because you, what? You died to its power when you died with Christ on the cross. When did that happen? The moment you said yes to Jesus. It's like escrow in a building, in a room. Things are engaged. Things are happening. There's powers based upon the law. And there's a transition of title. From one owner to the other. Imagine in a moment. God set up the rules, church. I'm not asking you to obey them, love them, or believe it. This is it. Take it or leave it. God says, when you believe in me, I make a declaration. I declare you now dead to the law and alive unto Christ. Whatever was convicting you and I in the past, now that we've come to Christ, God removes it. Why? Because a dead man is not under the power of the law. Take a dead guy out in the street and drive him around at high speeds. No one's going to give him a ticket. They're going to give you the ticket. Why? Because you're alive and the dead guy's dead. As a Christian, I'm supposed to now see myself dead to this world and alive to God. That's what God says to do. Are you getting this? This is liberating, man. Oh, man, what about my past, Dad? What about my old sins? You know, wait, Dad. And a dead man, mind you, a dead man's not craving anything. He's dead. You can pass waffles underneath his nose. You can give him fish tacos, In-N-Out burger. He's dead. He's like this. And the Bible says, now that you're in Christ, that's how you are toward the things of this world. Hey, Jack, woo-woo, look at this, dead. We are to be dead to this world. And the great thing is we don't have to do that. The Spirit of God does that based upon the declaration of Christ's work on the cross. He says in verse 6, but now we have been released from the law, for we died with Christ, and we are no longer captive to its power. Now we can really serve God, not in the old way by obeying the letter of the law, but in a new way by the Spirit. Well, then he says, am I suggesting that the law of God is evil? Of course not. The law is not sinful, but it was the law that showed me my sin. That's what the Ten Commandments are for. That's why people hate them. I would never have known that coveting is wrong if the law had not said, do not covet. Verse 8, but sin took advantage of this law and aroused all kinds of forbidden desires within me. If therefore were no law, sin would not have had the power. I felt fine when I did not understand what the law demanded. But when I learned the truth, I realized I had broken the law and was a sinner condemned to death. So verse 10 says, the good law, which was supposed to show me the way of life, instead gave me the penalty of death. Sin took advantage of the law and fooled me. It took the good law and used it to make me guilty of death. But still, the law itself is holy and right and good. But how can that be? Did the law, which is good, cause my doom? Of course not. Sin used what was good to bring about my condemnation. So we can see how terrible sin really is. It uses God's good commandments for its own evil purposes. The law is good. Then the trouble is not with the law, but with me, because I am sold into slavery with sin as my master. And the Bible says, Romans chapter 8, he moves on and he says, but guess what? I've been liberated by faith in Jesus Christ. Man, I hope that you understand that tonight.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that takes a look at what Scripture really says about the Holy Spirit at work in you. In fact, that's the title of this series within a series, The Holy Spirit at Work in You. It's part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, did you catch the Real Radio broadcast on Wednesday, October 2nd? I sat down with Pastor Jack and his wife, Lisa, and we talked about their new book called Turnaround at Home. Turnaround at Home by Jack and Lisa Hibbs. Now, if you didn't hear the program, just visit realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on the button that simply says Broadcast. Realradioactive.org to hear Pastor Jack and his wife, Lisa, discuss their new book called Turnaround at Home. It's all about breaking those generational patterns. You know what I mean? Those things that our parents did that we vowed we'd never do. Well, if you're a parent, or perhaps soon to be one, and you've wondered, how can I move beyond the family pattern that I had growing up? That's what this book is all about. It was a great discussion, so visit realradioactive.org to hear it if you haven't already. And we're also making this our special offer. We'll send you Turnaround at Home, the new book written by Jack and Lisa Hibbs, for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Call, click, or write our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or visit realradioactive.org to place your gift and request Turnaround at Home, the new book written by Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs. Or write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.